Wow, this is new, right? Yeah. A little bit different. Yeah. Not bad, just different. Everything that's different is not bad. Viruses are bad, right? We would agree with that. But the church being shaken up a little bit and having to learn new things and do new things and be more creative is a positive thing. And that's what we've been doing this week, preparing for this online church experience. Let me just ask this for everyone having church at home. How many of you are sitting there in your pajamas? Raise your hand. How many of you at home? You know, we can see you through the camera, so don't lie. No, I'm just kidding. We can't see anyone. That would be creepy. But welcome to church at home. This is our very first church at home experience. And I'll be honest, I have been very excited about this. I've been very excited about online church. We've talked about it for quite a while. I mean, over a year we've been planning this, wanting to take what we have in here in the church and take it outside of the church walls. So I'm very excited about this, excited that you're with us today. And this online church experience at IC Maidan will not be temporary. This isn't just for the next 2 weeks or so that we have the threat from the coronavirus. This is something that we're going to continue because I believe it's an important thing. And I believe it can be really powerful when we take church outside of the walls of the church. I think that can be a very powerful. Anytime you can take what we have in the church outside of the church, it's powerful. That's missions. That's reaching out. And I feel like we have something really special here that we're going to be able to share with more and more people. So that's what we're going to be doing. And the other thing I was thinking too, that's really a positive thing, because this is going to have a positive result meeting. We're not just meeting in one place this week. We're meeting in many homes all over the city. And I was talking to a friend in the last couple of weeks and just talking about, man, I believe Satan really made a miscalculation, because you can't stop the church. You can't stop the church. Even today, sitting here, sitting at home, church hasn't been stopped today. Everyone's sitting at home. You're not here in the building, but church hasn't been stopped. You can't stop church. The Bible says even the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Nothing can stop us. And the miscalculation that the enemy has made is that when you push the church to be more creative and more innovative, you have awoken a sleeping lion, right? So some positive things are going to happen. I believe it. I believe we're going to come through this more powerful than ever before. Anyone here believe that?
Yeah.
All right. And I believe Jesus is going to turn the bad into good, which is what he always does. So just hang on and trust him. For today, we're going to continue with the relationship series that we've been doing. This is week number 3 of From This Day Forward. This is a series from a book by Craig Rochelle. And, you know, I really thought when I was praying about what should we do for the service this week. We just had made the decision. This is the best step to take. We're going online this week. But really, when I was thinking about everyone being isolated in their homes with their family members, I thought, man, we really need to continue with the relationship series. Because everyone's stuck at home with your family, you need this relationship series more than ever before. So we are continuing with this. Why do you need it? Because your kids are at home all day, every day. Schools are closed. You know that. I'm not going to say much about it because your children may be sitting there with you right now. You're not going to say anything, but you know what I'm talking about. Some mama's day out, get away to Starbucks, has ended for the next couple of weeks. And maybe your husband is at home from work. Maybe the wife is working from home. Whatever the situation is, things are different. And we need more than ever to have strong relationships, relationships that don't just survive, but they thrive. So we'll continue this series. Pastor Kerry talked a couple of weeks ago about the topic of have fun. And that was very interesting. It sort of had a wink, wink for the married couples. But even that, I was thinking at least if we end up isolated for a while, the married couples know what to do with their time. And then 9 months from now, we'll have a lot of little corona babies all over the city of Medan. So it's fitting in the state of the world today that the title of this message this week is Stay Pure. I just thought it's fitting with all the talk that's going on. It feels like people are constantly telling us, stay pure, stay pure. All over the church, we have hand sanitizer. You know, all over the mall, there's hand sanitizer. It's stay pure, stay pure. We're constantly, every time I walk past a bottle, I'm rubbing more on and putting on hand sanitizer. When I walk in the mall, when I went in the coffee shop, they had hand sanitizer. It's constantly this reminder to stay pure, stay pure. There's contaminations. There's things that are unclean. We need to stay pure. We need to purify ourselves. So this week, and this wasn't here because I wanted to wash my hands. This was just a prop for the message. And it smells so good. I can't stop touching it. But stay pure. Clean hands. I mean, all the things we've been hearing. Keep your hands clean. Don't touch anyone. The elevator has tape on the floor so that you stay in your own personal space. Have you seen that? I mean, before, I don't know about you, I've been in the elevator. I've been in that lift with far too many people. Have you ever been in there and it's full? And then the door opens on another floor and someone's getting in with the biggest backpack you've ever seen? That happened to me right here, where someone, you're clearly full, you're standing all the way to the door, and the door opens, someone's standing there, and you're thinking, like, are you going to class or Pindaruma? Because it is a big, and come in and sling the backpack around, and you're smashed up against the side like a cartoon. I mean, I've been in lifts so tight that I reached in my pocket to get my car keys out just to get ready, and I reached in someone else's pocket. That's how tight it was. I may have exaggerated just a bit on the last one. But the point is, all the things we've been hearing, stay pure, don't touch, keep a distance, disinfect, disinfect. I mean, that's what we're doing with this, disinfect. Don't get infected. Don't get contaminated. Craig Rochelle says in his book, From This Day Forward, we live in a world where impurity is becoming the norm. I mean, think about that in the days we're living in right now. We live in a time, we're living in a world where impurity is normal. I mean, right now when cities are shutting down because of an impurity, right? A virus, an infection, a contamination. He's saying we are living in a world where impurity is becoming the norm. It's the normal thing. And he's not even talking about a virus here. The quote is talking about something else, a different kind of infection. The full quote says, we live in a world where impurity is becoming the norm. Sexual compromise is on the rise. And sexual temptation is everywhere. Into this culture, God still calls us to radical purity. So when we shift from thinking about a virus and needing to stay pure from a virus and needing to keep our hands clean and don't touch and stay away and wear the mask and keep the distance and not get infected and all of this, but we shift from a virus infection and a virus contamination and look at this contamination of sin in the world. Well, we live in a world where impurity is becoming the norm. And I think it's a reminder for us right now that physically we're seeing that around the world, that the same impurity, the same infection, the same contamination is spreading all over the place. It's just like sin. It's just like sin all over the world. The same impurity all over the place. And I was thinking about this in a culture of the world where impurity or infection is made to seem normal. What if we were as careful to avoid sin as we are to avoid the coronavirus? I mean, right now, think of all the steps you're taking. Think of all the things we're having to do to be careful. And someone just coughed right now and five people ran out of the room. You know that? But imagine if we were just as careful to avoid sin as we are to avoid corona. All the steps being taken. The Bible says anything that has the appearance of sin. Imagine if in our lives, anything that even looked like sin, I'm not even sure, but it looks like sin, and we run away from it. I don't want to be infected. I don't want to be infected. I don't want to be infected. I don't want to be dirty. I don't want to touch that. I need to keep my distance. I need to keep my hands clean. Stay pure, stay pure, stay pure. When impurity is normal, then it's time for us to be abnormal, right? If impurity is normal, we shouldn't be normal. The church shouldn't be normal. We should be abnormal. And I don't mean one of my favorite restaurants, Waterunk Up Normal. I order the internet from there all the time. The Indomie, the Lure Cornet. When impurity is normal, it's time for us to be abnormal. When impurity is the natural response, we need to have a supernatural response. We're God's people. We're the church. There's no reason for us to stay impure. We need to stay pure. If impurity is biasa, we need to be luar biasa, right? If impurity has become common, then we should be uncommon. Jesus is calling us today to be set apart, to be different, not to be contaminated like everyone else. And I'm not talking about the virus again. I'm talking about sin. We've been called to not be like the world. We've been called to be set apart. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It's telling us, hey, don't get infected. Don't get infected. There's something coming around. There's something. It's all over the place. Don't get infected. Stay pure. Be careful what you touch. Be careful who you get near. Be careful what comes close to you. Be careful what you're putting inside of yourself. Be careful what is coming close. Do not conform. Don't be infected. Don't be contaminated. Stay pure by the changing of the way you think. The changing of the way you look at things. That's why I'm saying, man, what if we use this time right now while we're thinking about the virus going around and change the way we think and see sin in our life the same way as we see this virus and impurity and infection, sin that we need to avoid. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. In verse 21, it's saying, hold tight to what is good. And then verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain literally means hold yourself back from or keep yourself away from. It really fits so much with this idea of staying pure. Hey, here's something right here, but that has the appearance of evil. Keep yourself away from it. Hold yourself back from it. Like how we do when someone has the appearance of corona. One cough, everyone's running away. If anyone has the appearance of the virus right now, we're getting away from them. But if anything has the appearance of sin, we should be getting away from it just as quickly. The appearance, even the appearance, that's how we should act towards sin. I was thinking, whenever I think about the idea of staying pure, I can't help but think about the story of Joseph in the Bible. And that's the Bible story I want to look at briefly before we close. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 12. I mean, we can't help but connect staying pure with Joseph. If you remember, Joseph was the dreamer. He's the one who, when he was young, had dreams of being a great leader. He had dreams that he was going to do amazing things, and it happened for him. But there was a process along the way, and I think one key for that happening in Joseph's life was that he stayed pure. He stayed pure. If you don't know the story, his brothers were jealous. They were annoyed by him because he's sharing the dream. Hey, I'm going to be a great leader one day. Even you guys are going to bow down before me. So they're annoyed or jealous. Whatever the motivation, they sell him into slavery. They want to get rid of this little brother. Then something happens that causes him to end up in prison. And that's where we want to start the story today. Genesis chapter 39, verses 1 through 12. It says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. See, he saw God is with Joseph. Something was different there. This guy, he just knew him as a slave that was brought into the house, but he quickly noticed something about this guy. The Lord is with him. He could see it. Potiphar could see it. So he put him in charge of everything. It says, from the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. So because Potiphar had a godly young man in his house, his entire house was blessed. And there's Joseph in the household running everything. He's in charge of everything in the house. All his household affairs ran smoothly, Potiphar's affairs. All of Potiphar's crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. How many of you would like that kind of life? I don't have to worry about anything except for what kind of food to eat. That was Potiphar's life. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. So just for the sake of this story and to visualize, imagine I'm Joseph. I'm just kidding. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. She was very longsong. Very direct. I mean, she's not even hinting around. She just went straight for it. Come and sleep with me. Imagine this. This is a young man in the house. Here's this woman there, and she's saying, come sleep with me. And he said no. And that's a challenge for anybody. I mean, if we stopped right there, that is a challenge. That's a challenge for anyone. What should I do if sin comes into my life? Hey, Joseph walked away. Joseph walked away. She said, come and sleep with me. She demanded, but Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. Man, what a godly man. When we're talking about staying pure, how could there be a better example? How could there be a better example? How could I do such a thing? It would be a sin against my God. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day. This isn't just one time that Joseph refused. It's every day he goes to work. I mean, you might be saying, hey, I'm kind of strong. I can withhold sin. But every day of your life, this woman right there in the house demanding, come and sleep with me, come and sleep with me, come and sleep with me. Every single day, he's faithful. Every single day, he is staying pure. Every day. One day, however, no one else was around when he went in to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, come on, sleep with me. Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. Man, anyone, the story explains itself, but if anyone's wanting to know, Pastor, how do I stay pure? You run away. How do I stay pure? Man, when sin comes into my life, how do I stay pure? You run away. What if it's every day? You run away every day. You know, sometimes we feel like I'm stuck. I can't get free. Here's Joseph and I mean, guys, listen to me, single guys, married guys. Joseph was in the house and this woman is trying to force him to have sex with her and he's running away. He stays pure. It's better not to be in a tricky situation like that. But I don't care what situation you find yourself in, you can run from it. Joseph is an example of that. Whatever situation you find yourself in, you can run from it. Some of you listening to me right now, guys and girls, there's times when you know you need to close the laptop and run away. There's times when you know you need to turn off that phone and run away. If we want to stay pure, if we want to stay uncontaminated, I don't want to be infected. Man, when you're there again and there's sin right in front of your face, you close it and you run away from it. You say, no, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm going to stay pure. I need to stay pure. How could I do such a wicked thing? How could I be involved in this? How can I do that? This would be a great sin against my God. I don't want to be contaminated. I don't want to be infected. Husbands and wives, you may have a relationship with someone of the opposite sex, not your husband or wife. It may be face-to-face. It may be Facebook to Facebook. But you know you need to run away. You need to run away. You can't continue in this. You can't continue to keep contaminating yourself with impurity. You can't continue to just be like the rest of the world when we're called to be set apart. So you can stay pure. Pure means free of contamination. That's the definition of pure. I looked it up this week as I prepared. Free of contamination, meaning nothing dirty mixed in. Free of contamination. Free of infection. Not infected by it. If you're not pure, you need to disinfect. And disinfect means to destroy infection. Disinfect means to destroy contamination. That's why we're constantly using this, because it destroys whatever contamination's on our hands. It destroys whatever dirt or germs or infection is there. It destroys it. And let me tell you, more important than our hands being clean is our heart being clean. More important than our hands being purified is our heart being purified. Look at this from 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. It says, "Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." Listen to that for a moment. When we need to be disinfected, we need to be purified. And the scripture is saying to us that Jesus came to destroy the work of Satan. Jesus came to destroy sin. It says Satan was sinning from the beginning. From the very beginning, there's this infection that was brought into the world by Satan. A contamination, an impurity. An impurity that some people today have gotten used to. It's common. It's normal. This is how I live my life. But something that God has called us to get away from. Jesus came to disinfect us. Jesus came to disinfect my heart. He came to disinfect your heart. Wherever there's impurity, he said, "Hey, I am pure. I am holy." He is sinless. And he came so he could disinfect the sinner, so that there's hope for every single one of us. All of us are sinners. All of us have failed to live up to God's standard. All of us have allowed contamination. All of us have been infected by sin. We get stuck in it and we feel like, I don't know how to get out. I don't know how to get pure again. We talk to people all the time and they're struggling. I don't know how to get pure. I don't know, maybe I can stay pure for one day, but then I fall again. I'm contaminated again. I'm infected again. And then I come back to church and I get pure again. I get some more of the Jesus disinfectant and I feel pure again for a couple of days, but then I allow the contamination back in. Jesus came to disinfect us. Jesus came to purify us. He came to purify us. Do you need freedom from sin? Ask Jesus to purify you, and he will. If you've been struggling this week, today, just say, "Jesus, purify my heart. Purify my heart. Disinfect me. God, I know there's an infection inside. Jesus, disinfect me." Do you need freedom from fear? Man, there's a lot of people right now, they are afraid. They're worried. If you need freedom from fear, it's the same thing. Say, Jesus, purify me from this fear. Purify me. Ask Jesus to destroy the infection that's invading your heart and your mind. Jesus, destroy it. He came to destroy the works of Satan. He came to destroy anything that is holding us back in our life. He came to destroy anything that will keep you from God. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to go and purify them. They're infected. They're not clean anymore. Father, they can't get clean on their own. They can't get purified on their own, but I can go and help them. Outward purity reveals inward purity. Purity on the outside, it reveals inward purity. And what I mean by that is purity begins in the heart. Anyone who's ever tried it, hey, I'm going to try to get cleaned up on the outside. I'm going to dress different. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to sing loud. I'm going to try to read my Bible. I'm going to try to pray. Anyone who has tried to do the outward purity without getting pure on the inside has already realized it doesn't work. And I tried. Church didn't work for me. Church didn't work. I went to church. Yeah, nothing changed because the purity has to begin in the heart. Our hearts have to be purified. Psalm chapter 51, verse 10, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God. Create in me a pure heart, O God. O God, my heart is contaminated. O God, my heart is not pure. O God, sin has gotten into my heart. O God, darkness has gotten into my heart. Bitterness, hatred, racism, sexual impurity, lust, it's gotten into my heart. Purify my heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Purify me and give me the power to stand strong and to stay pure. Once you purify me, give me that steadfast spirit. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. This sort of describes Joseph, and it's helpful for any of us. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. The young people that are asking, how can I be pure? In this world where impurity is the norm, in this world where sin is normal, in this world where sexual impurity is normal, and if I keep myself pure, if I'm a virgin, people make me the joke. If I'm not doing what everyone else is, they're laughing at me. I'm the joke because everything else is normal. How can I stay pure? By living according to his word. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And when I think about Joseph, I guarantee you he had God's word all in his heart, filled up. I mean, this is the son. When we talk about our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the next name under that's Joseph. Jacob's son. But you think he didn't hear stories passed down from his father, maybe even his grandfather. Hey, here's what God has done. Here's God's word. Do you think when his brothers sold him into slavery, he lost all of God's word that was in his heart? No, he took that with him. He took that with him when he went into Potiphar's house. So when sin approached his door, his first response was to run away. Not because of something special about Joseph, but something special inside of his heart. How do we stay on a path of purity? By living according to God's word. I've hidden your word within my heart that I might not sin against you. Joseph showed outward purity because he already had inward purity. His heart was pure. His heart was ready. He was ready for whatever came. He loved God. He didn't want to disappoint God. Even his response was, how could I do such a wicked thing? Man, it would be a great sin against my God. Married people, how will you stay pure in your marriage? Hide God's word in your heart. Single people, how will you stay pure? Fill your heart with God's word. Hide his word in your heart like that scripture says. Let it disinfect you. How will you overcome fear? Hide his word in your heart. How will you overcome worry? Hide God's word in your heart. How will we get through the things that are facing us right now without going crazy? It's by hiding his word in our heart, because we will have the strength that we need. We'll be able to withstand anything. We're going to stay pure with his word in our hearts. We'll run away from any appearance of evil. We'll run away even from fear, because we trust him. We have faith. We don't have reason to fear. And you'll be okay because you're staying near Jesus. Over the next couple of weeks, you may have some extra time, maybe some extra time on your hands. Let me encourage you, make the most of this moment. If you're isolated at home, if you're having to work from home, or you can't go to work, or you know, you're there at home with the kids all day, make the most of this time. Read God's word. Determine right now, hey, you know what? This isn't a coincidence. I'm here at home. Man, I've really been wanting to read God's word. I've got more time now. I'm going to read it. I'm going to fill my heart. I'm going to disinfect. Man, take these next couple of weeks. Some of us may already be disinfecting our homes, disinfecting things, just trying to be safe. Use this time to disinfect your heart. Read God's word. Read your Bible. Read it to your kids. Read it to each other. Invite people over. Read it with them. Read it with your husband. Read it with your wife. Have time with family. Call and check on people. Man, call and check on people. If we're having church at home, you won't be seeing everyone maybe for a couple of weeks. Call people. Check on them. Let them know you're praying for them. Pray for your city. Pray for your church. Pray for your world. We're going to come through this stronger than ever. Amen. We're going to come through this stronger than ever. The church has woken up. The church has realized, hey, there's more we could have been doing all along. Maybe we've taken for granted some beautiful things. Maybe our gathering together has just become biasa. It's just become normal. God's called us for better than normal. God's called us for better than just the natural, regular thing. He's called us to something supernatural. Let me pray with you for a moment. Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the example of Joseph. Lord, I'm so thankful to read a story of a young man who, when he was tempted with sin, right there in his face, sin right at his doorway, he was able to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow myself to be infected. I'm not going to be contaminated. When sin came close to him, so close, his response immediately was to run away from it. Not worried about what the consequences would be, not worried what would happen after that. His heart was pure. And because he had a pure heart, he was able to be pure on the outside. Father, I pray over these next few weeks that we will have some special moments with you. Lord, I pray for everyone is having church at home today, Lord, that this would be a moment that even after this, they can sit and talk together about your word, sit and talk with their children. Lord, they can discuss these things so that we can have a time of disinfecting. Maybe this time being away from the world will help us to remember that we are supposed to be set apart. We are supposed to be a holy people. We are supposed to stay pure. So, Father, today we ask that you would help us to hide your word in our hearts so that we might not sin against you. Lord, I pray for those that are worried or fearful, Lord, bring them peace. Bring them calm. Give them that peace that you promised, that gift that you left with us, Jesus, that peace that surpasses all understanding. We don't even know why we have it. The reason is it's because you're near to us. Lord, encourage everyone that you're right there with them. No one is alone. No one is forsaken. No one has been abandoned. The church hasn't been stopped. The church can't be stopped because we are the church. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I love you guys. God bless you. I'll see you in your house next week.